While you're sitting there, find Genesis chapter 37 this morning. Genesis chapter 37. Go ahead and find a place there. And I'll just finish this up. That way I can actually see what we're doing. All right. Much better. If you find your place there, go ahead and stand. We're going to be looking at a man's life. I've been reading through the book of Genesis and again, have come across this, and a big portion of the book of Genesis talks about this particular person, this person named Joseph. And if we look at his life and look at what he's done and what God has allowed him to do, we see so many types of Christ. And as I was looking at this, and I kind of couldn't get away from it, I thought on it, not last night, the night before, all night, thinking about this and this passage as we had read through it, and just remembering about how God used Joseph. And the reason was, and we see it many times in the passages we'll be seeing, beginning in verse 37 all the way really through verse 50, but several times in, I guess, 39. He said, the Lord was with Joseph. And I've been thinking about that and dwelling on that a little bit, and that's what I want, is the Lord to be with me. And what we see in Joseph's life is the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. They don't look like steps we want to follow. They don't look like steps that we would want to tread and to go after. And I'm sure Joseph didn't necessarily would have planned it that way. But God did. And there was a reason for it. And we don't see that reason until later on in the book of Genesis, which we will, not today, but in the next couple weeks as we're going to look at his life for a little while. And just try to understand how God uses men and women. Because God wants to use all of us. So as we look in the book of Genesis, and we're going to start in chapter 37, verse 1 this morning. We're going to look at the whole chapter 37, Lord willing. And just look at his life and the beginnings of things that really talks about him. His birth, I think it was in chapter 30. And he's the 11th son out of 12, but anyway, God is using him mightily, and there's a purpose and plan behind all of that. And so, let's go ahead. I'm going to read 11 verses this morning in chapter 37, and from there, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll look into his life. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And the brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren and to his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you so much for your love for us. We thank you for how you continue to bless each one of us. I thank you for our congregation here this morning. Father, I thank you for how you have shown your hand strong in the lives of your people. And Father, we come to you always seeking more and to have more understanding and more guidance and instruction in what you'd have us to do and how you have us to live. And Father, this morning I pray you would just help us as we look at this passage that you've given to me, and help us to understand it and to be able to apply it in our lives, realizing that you do have a plan for each one of us. We pray now you go before us, and that the words I share, Father, are the very words that you want me to share. Again, we thank you and we praise you. And Father, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the message is entitled, The Beloved, or The Beloved One. And the idea is, as we look at this passage, we see there's similarities to the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. Things that God has revealed to us in the Word of God in the New Testament, in the Old Testament as well. And the book of Genesis, of course, 50 chapters of it. And you look through it, and all of it, you can find Jesus Christ. Jesus is throughout this book. And again, it's the book of beginnings. It's a book about the time Job was alive. It was written during that period. And, of course, it's God's gift to us that as we look at this and as the Spirit helps us to understand things, he guides us to one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is what it's all about. For without Jesus, we have nothing. And so as we study this morning again, I hope we see and get the glimpse of God's plan and Joseph's life, God's plan for Jesus, and God's plan for us as we are in that as well. So here, right away, we see the Beloved. He talks about this in verses 1 and 2, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. Remember, the promise to Abraham was to go there. And so he is there. Jacob is in this land. In verse 2, it says, these are the generation of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Joseph had 11 brothers, and Leah, which was Jacob's first wife, as Laban tricked him into that situation, she had 6 of those children, 4 initially, and then Rachel gave her handmaiden, Bilhah, to Jacob, and they had 2, or she had 2. And then after that, I believe it was Zilpha, she had 2. And then Leah had 2 more, which made 6. And then Rachel had 2, and she died giving birth to Benjamin, the last one. And so here we see, though, that through this, that Joseph, and he's 17 years old at this time in his life. Sometimes we think, you know, 17 years old, that's not very old. To think God could use somebody like that. Well, today I wonder, people who are 17 years old, how immature people are and how little they have any idea what life is about. But nonetheless, back then, Joseph was 17, and I would say he's a mature 17 as we look at this. He was a shepherd. He was out feeding the flock. Isn't it amazing many times we see through the Bible that God is using the shepherds? That's interesting. Those are people who are dealing with sheep, out there herding sheep and taking care of sheep. And God uses those people because they learn to be followers through this. But nonetheless, he's out there. He's a shepherd. It reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible tells us and calls him the good shepherd. Also calls him the great shepherd. The good shepherd in John 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then Paul declared in Hebrews 13:20, he says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So you can see the way that God uses this, and he compares this. And that's, again, Jesus came as the Lamb of God for purpose of to take away the sin of the world. And so how important it is that he uses these shepherds and demonstrates this and demonstrates and shows us Jesus Christ. Well, Rachel happened to be the one that Jacob loved. We remember the story when he went to Laban and he worked for Laban for 7 years. And he asked him, what did he want? And he said, he wanted Rachel. But Rachel was the second born. And Laban said, he tricked him after he gave him Leah. He tricked him and said, well, we couldn't let Leah not have be married first. We had to do that. So he worked another 7 years for Rachel, 14 years. But he loved her. Genesis 29:18 says, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Additional 7 years it was. And of course, Rachel died. And here's Joseph without a mother at this particular time in his life. His mother is dead. And so it tells us in verse 3, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. He distinguished Joseph out from the rest. Now, I'm not sure that's a good thing to do, especially raising your children. You want to love them all equally. But in this case, for whatever reason, and probably because of maybe his life was changed, it was right after the birth was given, I think in chapter 32, when Jacob was escaping Laban, that he was going to meet up with Esau. And of course, before he escaped Esau to go to Laban. So he's coming back and he had got all his sheep and he got a whole bunch of gifts, sheep and cattle and everything that he was going to give to Esau. And he was concerned about that and he met the Lord that night. And that night he told the Lord that he would serve him and he would follow him. Changed his life. Maybe that was part of it. I don't know. But nonetheless, we see here that he was the beloved. You know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was the beloved of the Father. In Matthew 3:17, when Jesus was baptized, we remember it says, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ was the beloved Son. Joseph was the beloved Son. It's interesting, the distinctions you see. We see that Joseph, at least as little as we can understand, was righteous. And there are other reasons later on as we get through this. But here it says that he saw his brothers and he returned with an evil report. They were doing something they shouldn't have been doing. Instead of going along with the gang and going along with the brothers, he went and told his father and told him what was going on. And so he was a little bit different. And again, maybe that has to do with the fact that his father changed his direction in his life as they were heading through this time. And maybe that had a great impact on Joseph. Who knows? I hope so. You know, there's always that adage that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. If you and I, as parents, are looking to serve God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, our children will see that. You know, more often things are caught than taught. I mean, I can say one thing and do another, and it usually doesn't result in what we'd want it to do. And so maybe this is the case. We don't know. But nonetheless, he was somebody who wanted to do that which is right. Jesus was the same way. John 7:7 says, the world cannot hate you, but it hateth, but me it hateth, because I testify it that the works thereof are evil. When Jesus came, he pointed out the fact that there was evil here in the land. He was talking about the evil report of the world and how the world was, things were going on in the world and the reason he came. Joseph was hated by his brothers. It said that three times, at least four times, I think, maybe, in this chapter alone. And what we read this morning, there were three times it was mentioned. Hated more and hated more. I don't know how much you can hate. We'll see when we get down closer to the end of the chapter. We see how and what it leads to. And they hated him because his father loved him more than the others. They hated him for the fact that he told on them. And there was bitterness, I think, in their hearts as they went along. Jesus was hated by his brothers as well. In John 15:23-25, it says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this coming to pass that the word might be fulfilled that was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And again, Jesus came to point out sin in the world. Why? Because they could turn to Him and put their faith and trust in Him and have that relationship. The first thing every person has to understand to ever have a relationship with God is that they're sinners. There's a problem. And that's what Jesus came to share and to point out. But also we see that Joseph was a prophet. God used him and gave him dreams. God's never given me any dreams yet like this. Prophetic dreams. Maybe I eat a pizza and I have some bad dreams or something like that, or I wake up with heartburn or something. But God used him and gave him these specific dreams. Remember, they didn't have a completed canon at that time. And in verse 5 it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren. So he dreamed this dream, and he told this dream was about him and his brothers being out in the field, and they were gathering or binding up these sheaves. And as they were doing it, his sheaf stood up straight. And their sheaves, as they were binded, all bowed down or made obeisance to Joseph. Again, that made them angry. Of course, they didn't know what the future was going to hold, neither do we. But God was using him to reveal some truth to them. Of course, Joseph didn't even know this at the time. That's how prophetic it was. He didn't understand it all. All he knew was that the dream is what he dreamed. He was honest. He told them. And of course, because of this, they hated him even the more, it said in verse 8, for his dreams and for his words. And then he dreamed another dream, the sun, moon, and stars. And it happened to be 11 stars. And he said those stars bowed down to him, or to the ground, and made obeisance. First his brothers heard it, and they were upset. And then he told it to his father, and his father rebuked him. Are you saying, me and your mother and your brethren, we're going to bow down to you? Now, it's interesting in verse 11 where he said, and his brothers envied him. That word envy means they were jealous. So they're hating him, they're jealous of him, they don't want anything to do with him. But it says, and his father observed the saying. That word observe means to protect or to guard or to maybe hold the thought in your mind. And that's what they were doing, is they were thinking, his father was thinking about these things he said. Yes, he did rebuke him, but he still thought about these things and wondered about him. You know, Jesus, he was a prophet that came to this earth. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 57 says, and they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. In other words, your own town, your own family, they're not going to honor you. But he was a prophet. Jesus prophesied many things. He told of his death in John chapter 2. And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? The Bible says, but he spake of the temple of his body. They didn't understand that at the time, but it was important. Because it's something when it happened and occurred, they could go back and reflect on it. And later on, we'll see the same thing with Joseph's dreams as well. And of course, they hated Jesus because he loved God and he was God. In John chapter 10, verse 37 and 39, it says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. You know, someone once noted that the dreams that Joseph had, the initial one about the field, you know, the field in the New Testament parable talks about the world, is the fact of maybe the kingdom on this earth where Jesus will rule for 1,000 years. And the second being the sun, moon, and stars, maybe talking about the heavenly kingdom, where Jesus will rule forever. Anyway, it's interesting when you try to compare and you look at these things in the Word of God. So Joseph was a prophet. Joseph was beloved. Jesus was too. Joseph came unto his brothers. Isn't that interesting? Look at verse 12, if you would. It says, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. We've heard those words before. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with thy flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence. For I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. It's interesting. He came unto his brothers. He was seeking his brothers. Of course, Abraham asked him to go. God asked Jesus to come to this earth for the purpose to seek and to save that which is lost. He asked him to go, and of course, Joseph replied, Here am I. Remember, Isaiah said the same words. Jacob loved his sons. He cared about them. That's why he sent Joseph to go see them, see what they were doing, see if they were well, he said. And so he went and he looked for them. And as he was looking around, he couldn't find them where they were supposed to be. So often that's what happens to lost sheep and people, is we're not where we're supposed to be. And he found a man, and the man said, I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. So Joseph, he continued down to Dothan. And it was here that he found them as he searched for them, just like our Savior searches today. But in verse 18, it says, And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. So when he sees them, they're conspiring. That word conspire means to act treacherously. Amongst themselves, they're talking about what they're going to do in this situation. And let's read the rest of it. They conspired against him to do what? To slay him. They conspired to slay him. Again, we can make note and will in a few minutes of how this just reflects on the fact of what happened to Jesus. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. You can see the bitterness, the envy, the hatred they have for their brother. In essence, he was the chosen one of the family. And we say, Jacob did that, but you know who really did that? God did that. Why? We'll know when we get to the end of the chapter as we move on. But there was a purpose behind it through the whole situation. So here we see that they had sentenced him to death. Let's slay him. They conspired, act treacherously. They wanted to destroy him. Many times they wanted to destroy Jesus. And verse 20 says, Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast had devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. They had no idea, did they? They had no idea what God was going to do. In verse 21 it says, And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father. Reuben is the oldest. So we can imagine him, and being the oldest, probably had that fatherly instinct. Generally, that's what a lot of the older children are. That's one of the things of the first child, if we'll, often is the protector of the group or the other children. Well, Reuben, he knew that this would break his father's heart. And so he came up with his own plan that, yes, let's put him in the pit, but his plan was he would come back later and get him out when they weren't looking. So they went ahead and agreed to do that, to put him in the pit. And so as Reuben intervened and was able to get him to do that, they were all sitting down, it says. First let's go back to verse 23. It says, And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. You can see how upset they were, the fact that he even had this coat. They took it off of him. Nowhere does it say they tore it up or any of that, but they took it off of him or stripped it off of him. And it has the idea of removing it. And they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, the company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh and going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if they slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brethren and our flesh. And his brethren were content. So here, they had him in the pit. That pit is a type of prison, if you will, if you think of it that way. They stripped his coat off of him. And then they were sitting around eating, probably not thinking much about Joseph at this time. But then they see this band of Ishmaelites coming, and they're thinking in their mind, hey, I got an idea. Let's sell him. Let's sell him to them. That way the blood will not be upon our hands. We'll get rid of him. He'll be gone. We'll never see him again. You can imagine their thoughts. That was their plan. It says in verse 28, then there passed the Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Isn't that interesting? They sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces, if we remember. We see some reactions here of what happened, what took place. Reuben returned in the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. He rented his clothes, and returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? He wanted to know where Joseph was. He was concerned. He was upset. He was distressed. Many people were distressed when Jesus was gone. Verse 31 says, and they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. I can't even imagine. They did what they did, sold Joseph, and then dipped this coat in blood and went to their father and said, can you tell if this is your son's or not? They didn't even mention Joseph's name. They just said his son. I think that's still part of the disdain they have for him. In verse 33, he says, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. He was convinced that day that his son was gone. Not just gone, but dead. It says, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. When we see this passage, there's so many types that you can come away with, so many thoughts, and not that they're all necessarily right, but, and there are probably more that I didn't see. But through this whole chapter, this first chapter, we're looking at Joseph's life and the situation that he's in. It reeks and speaks and yells of Jesus Christ. Many of the things that they did here, whether they were exactly the same or not, they were there and they were done to Jesus. And again, this happened many years before. 6,000 some years before Jesus Christ. And the purpose, again, we see is to help us to understand God's plan for us today and help us to live the life God's called us to live, because as we go through this life, we seem, and this is something that I'm learning in my life, and maybe it's just a new revelation to me, because we see that God has the steps ordered, that as we learn to find those steps, and he will bring the circumstances of life, he'll bring things into our lives to guide us in those positions. He will use evil to put us where he needs to be sometimes. Maybe that's the response that's going on in our country today. Who knows? But nonetheless, we can see that this also speaks of Jesus Christ and the purpose he came for. God the Father sent Jesus because he loved the world. Just as Jacob sent Joseph because he loved his sons. The Bible says in John 3:16, we all know this, for God so loved the world. I can't imagine that. Even though while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus, I want you to go down and I want you to walk on that earth for 33 years and live in the flesh as a human being for the purpose to die for them. Can't imagine. He says that so whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. These folks don't realize it at the time that God's plan for Joseph was to bring life to this family. That's amazing. Jesus went to his brethren, to the Jews. He came into his own, John 1:11. That's where he went. The first thing, place he went was to his own. Remember, he told his disciples the first time he sent out, just to the house of Israel. But the house of Israel rejected Jesus. And of course, the doors opened for everyone, for whosoever. In Luke 19:10, the Bible reminds us, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's looking this morning to reach out to anybody that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior. No matter what age, maybe a young child, maybe an old adult that's never put their faith and trust in Christ. He's seeking this morning. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the purpose of it is to help us to come to the knowledge and understanding of God. Understand Jesus. Understand his plan. They were jealous of Jesus. In Mark 15:10 it says, for he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy, because they were jealous of him. They delivered him to Pilate. They conspired to kill Jesus. Just like here, Joseph, his brothers, conspired to slay him. In John chapter 11, verse 47, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, the Bible says, then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. And then on down in John 11, 53, verse 53, it says, then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. You want a conspiracy theory? There's one that's real. It's true. It happened. It happened in Joseph's life. And it happened in Jesus' life. It's amazing when you start looking at these things. He was sold into the hands of the chief priest. Judas conspired to deliver Jesus. In Matthew 26:15 says, and he said unto them, what will ye give me? Judas speaking, and I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. He was sold to the Jewish council, and through that selling, they turned around and they put Jesus into the hands of the Romans. These are the Gentiles. Now, just like Joseph being sold, he was sold to the Gentiles. He wasn't sold to anybody that was a Jewish or Israeli family. In fact, that was just getting started. He was sold to the Gentiles, just like Jesus was. It was only the Romans had the means to crucify Jesus in that day. In Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this person. See ye do it. And they cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. We see that Joseph, he had his coat stripped from him. Jesus had his coat stripped from him as well. In John chapter 19, verse 23 and 24, it says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts. To every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Many say that's what Joseph's coat looked like. don't know. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. So we see there's some similarities here. The idea, Joseph is not Jesus. He's kind of a type of Jesus, if you will. Jesus shed his blood for the sins of the world. Matthew 26 and 28 says, for this is my blood, when he was in the upper room, of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In John 19, 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. As I was looking at this, and I don't know if this means anything or not, but it was just ironic to me that these children of Jacob or Israel took this coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped it in the blood. There's some symbolic things there. The blood. How important is the blood? Now, they didn't do it for this reason, obviously. It's just something that was there. They did it to prove to their father that he was eaten by some beast or killed by some beast. Also, when Jacob, he saw the clothes that were dipped in blood, what did he do? He recognized that coat as being his son Jacob's. Well, that's interesting, because when Jesus was on the cross, God recognized him. And for 3 hours, darkness fell upon this earth. He was on the cross bearing the sin of the world. He had been beaten, bruised, battered, mocked, despised, cursed. And God looked down and he recognized his son. But not only his son did he recognize, but he recognized my sin, more importantly. And that day, Jesus bore the sin of the world. And God, recognizing that fact and seeing that sin and seeing his son and what he did, he turned his back from God, from Jesus for 3 hours as Jesus bore that sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me, Jesus said. We know today the reason is because of my sin. When Jacob saw the coat, he believed Joseph to be dead. When the disciples went to that empty tomb, they believed Jesus to be dead. They couldn't remember some of the things he said. They weren't sure. Just as Joseph experienced the pit, that was God's specific plan for him. I can't imagine being down a pit. I've watched a movie a long time ago with snakes in a pit, and pits scare me, like whales, you know. You don't want to get in a deep well. Just always, ever since that, I'm just like, ah. But nonetheless, he was in that pit. There was no water in it, obviously. But God had a specific plan through that. And in an essence, in a symbolic way, what happened is Joseph died when he was put in that pit. And symbolically, he was raised back into life, sold into slavery, and we're going to see that he's coming back. Literally, he's not coming back, but his family is going to meet him again. In essence, that's kind of like what's going to happen. It's not exactly the same, and maybe I'm trying to take some liberties here or not, but Jesus Christ is coming back. Because he died, he was buried, he rose again, and he lives today. And he's coming back. Just like Joseph's parents, or Joseph's, yeah, parents and his brothers are going to meet him again, we're going to meet Jesus again as well. Jesus told his disciples before he was crucified in John 14, in verse 1 through 6, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? One of his disciples that walked with Jesus daily. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Joseph, being a type, one day is going to save his family. One day he's going to provide for his family. One day he's going to bring them to where he is. And that's what Jesus Christ wants to do for us. You see, Jesus Christ is the beloved one. He's the one that God sent down to this earth for the purpose to redeem mankind. Today, there are many people that are lost and don't understand this. They're kind of like Joseph's brothers, maybe, in the sense that a type of the world have no idea what's going to happen in the future. Don't even care. There are people you can talk to them and tell them about God, and they just look at you with blank look. Who is that? I don't believe in that. Well, let me share the Bible. I don't believe in that either. And there are people that are going to miss out on the opportunity that God has set before them. Now, what if Joseph at any time during this situation, and we don't have any response of Joseph, we don't see him other than it says he responded or told his father about his brethren, but we don't have all the details of all the ins and outs of what he said, what he did. Even throughout the chapter, as you look at the rest of the next couple chapters, actually, nowhere have I seen anywhere where Joseph said anything about what was happening to him. And nowhere did I see that he's complaining, grumbling. But yet, he went through these things. And he went through them because the Lord was with him. And that's what's so important for us in this walk, in this life that we have, is that the Lord is with us. That as we're finding those steps that God has ordained for us to walk in, is to get into that and just follow those. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, knowing each step and knowing what it is and knowing how God is trying to direct us in this. And it begins at the cross. It begins at the fact that Jesus died for you. The most important question that you need to answer in your heart and your mind today is, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you know and realized that you were lost, that you were a sinner, and that there was no way you deserved to spend eternity with God? You have to come to the conclusion you don't deserve it, because that's where you come to the conclusion that you're lost. And when you can understand that you're lost, that's when you can realize that Jesus paid the price to change that condition from someone who is lost to someone who is saved. Someone who can have everlasting life, spend eternity with God the Father, instead of the other choice, which many people don't believe, the lake of fire. I imagine these brothers had some tough struggles during these years before they meet Joseph again, because that sin had to be a burden in their lives. And we see at the end it was, up until the very end, because they needed forgiveness. And forgiveness comes when we admit we're sinners and we repent of that sin. Then God will forgive us. We call on the name of Jesus, asking him to save us, and he says he will. And we can spend eternity with him. You know, it's the best story. It's the most wonderful story. It's a story that changed my life because it's the truth. And I think most people in this room can say the same. This morning, you probably say in your heart of hearts, I am so thankful what Jesus has done for me. I am so thankful that someone prayed for me. Someone told me or shared with me that I was a sinner and I was lost and I needed a Savior. Because it had to happen at some point. Maybe it was through a tract. Maybe it was through you reading the Word of God itself. But there were seeds planted. Those seeds were watered. And it brought forth fruit. And the fruit's sitting here today. But now what we want is to produce fruit. We don't want to be an apple tree standing out in the orchard with nothing hanging on it. We want fruit. That's why we're here. Is to learn how to get fruit. Learn how. And the reason and the knowledge of that, all that comes through the Word of God. Why? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The most important message we can give out today is that message. Regardless of who believes it, regardless of who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of how many times people say, I don't want to hear that or reject it, it doesn't feel good. The other day I got rejected, didn't feel good. But it's not my responsibility how people respond. That's God will take care of that. My responsibility is to make sure they know before it's too late. Joseph walked in the steps God had prepared for him. Are you ready to do that? Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your heart. And walk with Jesus Christ. You know, just like Joseph is a type of Christ, let me stretch this a little bit. If you're a born-again Christian, we ought to be a type of Christ. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. The word Christian means what? Christ-like. Type of Christ. We can't save anybody, but we can show people, reflect, and help people see Jesus. And that's why we're here. And that's the purpose of our life. Joseph had the purpose in his life, and it was to help show Jesus Christ. And in the end, it helped his brothers, his family. Why? Because he walked in the steps God had ordered for him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the Word of God. And we do thank You that You give us opportunity. I'm thankful that so many times when I say no and You keep nudging me, You keep challenging me, You keep showing me because of its importance that You love me so much. You told us You would never leave us nor forsake us. You told us that You would guide and direct us. Father, help us to look for those steps that You have for us. We thank You now. We pray these things in Jesus' name.